I love sitting at the table of the Lord, taking time to be in his presence. So turn your Bibles, if you will, to Acts chapter 20. We're going to be finishing up our series on renewal today. I know it's like calisthenics today at the church, but stand one more time, if you will, for the reading of the word of the Lord in Acts chapter 20. Now we're looking at Paul's, the Apostle Paul's letter to the church, and also this is his last time that he's coming together. Well, not his letter to the church, but his events leading up to writing his letters and during that time. But the writer of Acts is really reflecting on the life of Paul, and as he's on his way to Jerusalem to get there before the Pentecost, the day of Pentecost, the celebration, he wants to get there in time, but God has him kind of detoured in several different places, and he finds himself here. And he's saying farewell to his Ephesian brothers, to those who's helped him lead in this ministry that he has. And he feels like it's his last time before he goes to Jerusalem. He's on his way to Jerusalem. He doesn't know what's going to happen. When he gets there, he knows people are after him. His life is in jeopardy. And so he's hanging out here just for a little bit before he makes his way there. But listen to what he says in this letter. If you want to read with me, we'll begin at verse 20. If you're there, say, praise the Lord. You know that I have not hesitated to preach anything that would be helpful to you, but have taught you publicly and from house to house. I have declared both Jews and Greeks that they must turn and get to God in repentance and have faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, compelled by the Spirit, I am going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. I only know that in every city the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and to complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace. I want you to read this with me in verse 22. Say it out loud. And now, compelled by the Spirit, I am going to Jerusalem. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for this word. And I ask God that every time that I have the opportunity to preach your word, that your Holy Spirit will lead my thoughts, lead the words, God. I'm only a vessel of yours, and it's an honor, God, to preach your word. I pray as I speak it, God, you would speak words into the heart of every man, every woman, every young person in this room, Lord, in the name of Jesus. We're going to hear it in different ways because your Spirit's ministering and whispering things to our hearts that only that we know, God, and you know that you want to speak to us about, and I thank you for that. Lord, let this word be a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Everybody said amen. Amen. Give somebody a high five or a fist bump before you're seated. It's good to see you this morning. I want to remind us this morning of something that's very important, and that is the word rest. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago, and I wanted to just kind of wrap this thought up in the way of resting in the Lord. Everybody say rest. Rest is a pathway to renewal. If you want renewal in your life, and we're praying for God to bring a renewal on our fellowship, this community of faith, I'm praying that God would do a renewal, that he would bless us with his Holy Spirit, that we're hungry for the Holy Spirit. How many are hungry for the Holy Spirit in the house today? I'm hungry for the Holy Spirit. I need the presence of God every day in my life. I need a fresh word from God every day in my life. I open up the Bible. It's not just black and white or red and white. It's life to me. I open it up and I say, Lord, I need it as sustenance. I need it as my sausage biscuit and my coffee in the morning. I need your word, Lord, even more so. And I remind you again, no Bible, no breakfast. Let your Bible be that sustenance you need before you even have that breakfast in the morning. God, I need a fresh word. I need your Holy Spirit. I need your anointing. I can't live this life without you. And one of the ways we get there is through rest. We rest in him. Rest, not necessarily in the sense of I'm taking a nap, I'm going to a recliner assembly on a Sunday afternoon. It's not that, or you know, it's that I'm resting in his presence. My spirit, my heart, my life, my rhythm is at a place of rest in the Lord. I'm operating in a place of, and really what you're saying is I trust him completely. I trust him completely. I know that I know that I know that God is with me. In this situation, I know that he is never going to leave me nor forsake me. Paul had gotten to that place in his life. He wasn't superhuman. He wasn't anything. He was a man just like you and I. He was a person just like you and I. But yet he had found a place in God to where he knew that he had confidence in the Lord. And it reminds me of something that Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 30. He says this, "For my yoke," everybody say yoke, "is easy and my burden is light." So in other words, when we trust in him, when we take on the name of Jesus upon our lives, when we give our hearts to Jesus, and that's why we invite you to give your hearts to the Lord, because we realize that once you do that, you're partnering with Jesus and you're saying, Lord, my life is in your hands. Lord, your hand is upon my life and I'm trusting you. I'm finding rest in you. So when Jesus was talking about taking on his yoke, because it's easy, he's really referring to the Pharisees had put a yoke upon the people. And they said, if you want to live this life of holiness, then you've got to abide by over 600 rules, especially when it comes to the day of Sabbath and keeping the Sabbath and making it holy. There's 600 things that you cannot do, and it's these things that you've got to keep these regulations regarding the Sabbath, and this working ethic, if you will. And Jesus is saying, no, that's a heavy yoke you're putting on people, because it's not necessary, because my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And then so one of the Pharisees, one of the leaders said, okay, so if out of all the commandments, it leads to this conversation, as they said, out of all the commandments, if you look at Matthew 22, verse 36, he said, what is the greatest commandment of the law? And Jesus, I love, you can almost read between the lines here to the man's question, what law of all the laws then is the greatest? And you guys know what it is in Matthew 22, 37. What does it say? Basically, he says, love God with all of your heart. And you love, he says, love God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And he says, and love who else? Your neighbor. Love God and love people, basically is what he said. And I love that theme. I love that specific way of how we can find rest in this life is that we love God and we love people. How simple is that? We can say that it's simple, but it's not really a simple thing when you break it down. It takes commitment. It takes a place of commitment. It takes a place of knowing who he is. And I believe it takes a place of solitude in God, a place of rest in him. So we find this pathway to a renewal when we rest in him. We find renewed strength when we rest in him. And part of doing that is partnering with Jesus. Everybody say, partner with Jesus. When you partner with Jesus, you're taking on his yoke. Now, in the Old Testament, that word yoke really kind of meant this taskmaster mentality, if you will, this iron rod, if you will, this way of you have to do it this way, or this prodding, if you will. In the New Testament, Jesus says, when you take on my yoke, because it's easy, he says, we're going to walk together in life. This yoke is easy. We're gonna walk in cadence together. I'm gonna be with you. I'll never leave you forsake you. As a matter of fact, he uses terminology of that we are co-laborers with Christ, right? It's like he's not gonna do it all for us, but it's gonna take a level of faith to walk with him. So, but we rest in this life in him. We trust in him. We say, Lord, I'm partnering with you, and as I partner with you, then I know I'm not by myself. Aren't you thankful you're not walking through this life alone? He's with us. It's with you. He knows where you're at. He knows the numbers of hair on your head. Hallelujah. Even if it's not as many as some of you might have, he knows every hair. He knows every situation. He knows every circumstance in your life right now. And you can rest assured and know that he is a God who is watching over you right now, this very minute. Hallelujah. I'm thankful that I have a God that loves me that much that he knows exactly where I'm at. Exactly what I'm doing. He knows exactly my thoughts. He even knows exactly the intentions of my heart. He knows me and he loves me even though. Because the word says his grace is sufficient. Aren't you thankful his mercies are new every morning, Adrian? Hallelujah. We wake up in the morning and we say, God, thank you for forgiveness of my sins. Thank you, God, for right standing in you. Thank you for your Holy Spirit that's filling my life right now. Oh, he's so good to us. He's so good to us. Resting in him, partnering with him. You know, part of partnering is that we relinquish all that we are to God, all that we have to God. And we say, Lord, what is mine is yours. It's kind of like when you got married, right? Yeah, I had a really nice car when I got married. T-tops, drew that thing, man. Yeah, man, it was, we got married and we had that, and Mary Alice is like, this is nice. We probably need to think about getting a minivan at some point, especially after we had our first child. And so we had a Ford, whatever that was at the time, minivan. So, and I had to get rid of my car I love. But you know what? I got a whole lot more back than that car I ever did for me. Amen. We've been married 35 years this year, and we've learned, amen, we've learned that as we give, that we get back so much more. That's the way God is. God says, give me what you have and watch me. Psalm 46:10. He said, watch me. Know that I am God in your situation. So what is it in your life that I trust in God, I've given God, but where is it in your life that you haven't really partnered with him in? Maybe he's just asking for you to just totally surrender to him. And that's where the Apostle Paul, I believe, had gotten to in his life. He had totally surrendered. I love his thoughts to the church in Galatia. He writes in Galatians 2:20, he says, I am crucified in Christ. He says, therefore, I no longer live, but my life is in Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. In the life I live I live by faith. In this life I live now, I live by faith. And if I didn't live it by faith, then I really wouldn't be trusting in the Lord who died for me. That's really what Paul is saying. My life is no longer mine. And he says that again, look in chapter 20 there. I love what he says in verse 24. However, I consider my life, what does he say? Worth nothing. I consider my life worth nothing. My only aim is to finish the race, complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace. How many know somebody that needs Jesus in your life? We all do. I mean, we encounter people every day that need to see the hope of God in our lives. And those of you watching online, and maybe you've happened on today, and maybe you're just kind of checking it out, but you know that there's a place that you got to partner with God on. You got to give it all to Jesus. All to him I freely give. And we turn it over to him. We partner with him. And you listen, you're not going to find rest in your life unless you turn it all over to Jesus. You're not going to find true rest in him. You're not going to find true renewal in him unless you turn it all over to the Lord. Listen, when we take matters into our own hands and we lean on our own means, our own understanding, we are subjecting ourselves back to the Old Testament reference of what yoke is. We're saying, I'm taking on a yoke that is heavy. I'm taking on a yoke that is a burden to me. It's a burden to try to keep all the regulations and the laws. It's a burden to try to keep the standards. It's a burden to try to live a holy life. Because my only holiness is because of Christ in me, right? The only righteousness I have, Paul said, my righteousness is as filthy rags. We can't do it on our own. We're not good enough to do it on our own. We need a God who can wash us and cleanse us from all of our unrighteousness. We need a God who can show us the right way. We need a God who can speak into our lives on a daily basis and give us the sustenance that we need to live. We need God in this place. Amen. I need God in my heart and in my life. I need a God that I can partner with and know that he's with me. Like, I don't take matters into my own hands, because if we take matters into our own hands, it's really a yoke of bondage. It's no longer faith, but we start operating in fear. You ever been there before? Man, I love God. I go to church. I'm reading the Bible. I'm praying. But anxiety, depression, fear overtakes us, and we say, Lord, this is not pleasing to you. Please forgive me of it. But I don't know why, but we're human. We're human, and we go through those things, and I understand that. But let's lean in and learn to rest in him. Whatever you're overcome with today, maybe there's anxiety in your heart, or just you're overcome with a circumstance that you can't control. Give it to God today. Partner with him. And don't lean on your own understanding, but allow him to work in that. Because if we do, we take on a yoke of bondage. No longer is it God is with me, but rather, God, where are you? You prayed those prayers before? Crying out to God, Lord, I'm believing, I'm trusting God, but where are you? Instead of thinking in those terms, say, God, I don't sense where you are. I don't know why I'm going through this, but God, I trust you in the middle of it. I know you're with me, because you know what? We start operating in faith. We hold up the word before the Lord. And we say, Lord, you said in your word that you'd never leave me nor forsake me. You said in your word, God, that you're with me always. And Lord, I'm going to trust you in that, even though when I don't feel like it, right? There's times in our lives when it doesn't matter what Christian song you listen to. It doesn't matter what encouraging words somebody says to you. It's not going to help you fill that void, fill that anxiety, because you need a power in the Holy Spirit to minister to your heart that only God can do. And you say, Lord, I've got to trust in you in the middle of the situation. Now watch this. When you take on this yoke upon yourself and you partner with Jesus, watch this. I partner with him. My concerns are married to his promises. My concerns are married to his answers. My anxiety is married. It becomes married to his peace. Think about it for a minute. Because I'm partnering with Jesus. I'm married to Christ. Jesus says, when you open up the door of your heart, I will come in. He said, I will seal my blood. I will seal my forgiveness. I will seal my spirit with your heart. I'll put a stamp of approval on you. And listen, guys, somebody needs to be saying, is this a Pentecostal church or not? Come on. There's opportunities right here where we can jump up and sing hallelujah. We used to lead worship at a church years ago, and there was one particular song. I knew if we did that song that Brother Ralph was going to start getting up, he was going to run around the church. And every time we did it, he would do it. And so I just knew when we sang that one song, it's something that came out of the Pensacola revival at that time, and we would do it. So there's certain points, guys, if you're Pentecostal, you just need to get excited, right? You just need to let the Lord know that you're appreciative of what he's doing in our hearts. Listen, when we are yoked with Christ, my concerns, my anxiety becomes married to his peace. My sickness becomes married to his healing virtue. I am not sick on my own. I don't have to succumb to the sickness or the disease. I can say, God, you are with me. By your stripes, I am made whole in the name of Jesus. Got to put it in your hands. I partner with you. When I partner with him, my lack becomes married to his supply. He is the keeper of the storehouse. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, Brother Jackson. He is the keeper of the storehouse. And so whatever I have need of, if I have a need, I'm going to go to the keeper of the storehouse and say, hey, can I have whatever you've got in that store? I need some help here. When I was a boy growing up, my mom and my dad, he worked two jobs. He was part of the textile industry here in town and worked at the bleachery and worked for us, J.P. Stevens. But things were always hard, always tight. But I remember coming home from school, walking home from Richmond Drive and getting home, and the bedroom windows would be up, of course, in the summertime. And I could hear my mom praying in that bedroom, crying out to God. Had her door closed. You guys know what I'm talking about. Just asking God to meet a need. And she'd have the bills and all the finances laid on the bed and praying over them and believing God. It doesn't add up on paper sometimes, God, but we serve a God. There's nothing impossible for him. We serve a God that can answer a prayer that we have no way how he's going to do it, but we just trust in him, and we rest in him to know that he is going to supply the need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. I take on his yoke. It's easy. And his burden is light. My lack is married to his supply. His burden is light. Matthew 11:28, Jesus says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you, what does he say? Give you what? I'm not going to give you trouble. I'm not going to give you overbearing. I'm not going to give you a heaviness. I'm not going to give you a burden. He says, my burden is light, and I'm going to give you rest. Come on, let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise for that. Thank you, Jesus. In the midst of turmoil, in the midst of challenges, in the midst of trials, and the things that overwhelm us, he wants to give us rest. It's almost an oxymoron, isn't it? It's like, how can that be? How can two things exist at one time? How can happiness and sadness exist in one place? How can excitement and sadness be in one place? We all know those emotions, those feelings. How can anxiety exist in a place of faith? We have faith, we have fear, it's a continual challenge and battling. Lord, I'm a Christian, I'm trusting in you. I don't need to feel this way. Why do I feel this way? Well, lean into rest. Everybody say rest in him. Lean into rest in him. So partnering with Jesus, we take on his yoke. Also, when we rest in him, it's an act of worship. It's an act of worship when you're resting in him, right? When you come in here on Sunday morning and you know you got things going on in your life, and we say, how you doing? And there's a smile on your face, but you know in your heart there's things that are overwhelming you. There's situations that are troubling you. But you're coming to Sunday morning, and Debbie starts singing the worship songs, and you lift your hands and you say, Lord, in the midst of it, I'm going to worship you. I'm going to praise you in the midst of my trial. I'm going to stand in you in the midst of this questioning and what I'm going through. You know what? It's an act of worship. And so when you're acting in worship and in faith, when you're acting that way, he's going to give you rest. That's the pathway to rest when you act in worship that way. It's an act of worship when you trust in a God. It's the way that we lead our lives every day, really. Not just on Sunday mornings, but the way we lead our we get up. We thank you, Jesus, for my day in the morning. We get up, we eat, we bless this food in the name of Jesus. We pray over our food. When we're driving the car, Lord, I worship you. Keep your hands on the steering wheel when you're worshiping him in the car. Difficult moments with your boss at work, you say, thank you, Lord, because you are Jehovah Jireh. You're going to supply all my needs. You see and you know. What Jehovah Jireh means, he sees, not only that he's going to provide. Don't miss that when you think about Jehovah Jireh, what that means. It's not only that he provides, but he sees. That word came from Abraham and Isaac on the mountain. He provided the ram in the thicket, remember? So Jehovah Jireh came as a result of God seeing that need. He sees you. He's rest in that. He sees you. It's an act of worship. And when you lay down at night, you say, thank you, Jesus, for your faithfulness and watchful care over my family tonight as we sleep. We find renewed strength in him when we partner with Jesus, when we act in worship. And also, I find it very interesting what Paul says. Look at verse 27 of chapter 20 in Acts. I love this, and I want us to capture this as we kind of wrap this up this morning. Verse 27, he says, for I have not hesitated. You guys see that? To proclaim the whole truth, the whole word of God, the whole will of God to you. And so one of the pathways to rest is when we consider the whole counsel of God. In other words, when you love the Bible. How many love your Bible? Some of you are holding your Bible right now. You just love the pages. I love hearing that. Some of you got your digital devices, and that's all right too. But we love the Word. We get the Word in our hearts. So we turn from God, we trust in him. When you put your faith in the whole will of God, when you love his Word and you do what Paul's saying, he says, I have taught you the whole measure, the whole counsel, the whole will of God. I've been careful to dissect it, to teach you what this is, to show you the whole counsel of God. He says, when you do that and you're united with him in his word, you're married to God, you come under the authority of the word. I come under the authority of the word today. Do you know you come under the authority of Jesus Christ? He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Psalm 90 is one of my favorite, 91. He says, when you place that shield above you, it's like you're living under his authority. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, Pentecostal church. That's a place right there to get excited about. I come under the authority of my Jesus. I am united with him. My hand is in his hand. And he says, because of that, then you are resting under the whole counsel of my word. That means all the promises. Read Psalm 103 in your devotion this week. You forget not all his benefits, not only the salvation, but for healing. For all, just read it. It's exciting to see that. The whole counsel of God, I'm under that. I love his word. Hebrews 12:2 says that if we fix our eyes on who? Come on, Jesus. We fix our eyes on who? Jesus. He is the author and perfecter of our faith. He is the finisher, the completer of my faith. It's because of his death, his resurrection, and his life that I have life today. In other words, when I am united with him, when I come under the authority of his word, when I am partnering with him, and it's an act of worship, he is saying because of that, he completes me. He makes me whole. I love those songs. We talk about how God just makes us whole. He makes us complete. When I ask if you're married, and I say, it's nice to meet you, and then I meet your wife or meet your husband, we'll say, well, we don't see them the next time, we'll say, well, where's your better half, right? Guys, your wife's your better half, right? That's an amen right there. Where's your better half? She completes you. Mary Allison and I, we're one of those couples where if you see one, you see the other. And I love that. Matter of fact, I don't let her drive much anymore. It's like driving Miss Daisy. I drive her everywhere. And I'm glad we can be together. We're together a lot. And I love that. Because when I'm not with her, I feel like there's a missing part of me. It's like a missing cylinder in an engine. It's like I'm missing something. And so we complete one another. And you know what I mean by that. You complete one another when you're together. You complete one another when you're spending time together. It's your better half. Listen, we are incomplete and take on a yoke of heaviness awaiting us if we are not married to Jesus. If you are here this morning, you're watching online, and you're trying to do faith halfway, you've got one foot in the world, one foot in the church, you'll never find rest. You can only find rest when you are married to Jesus. When you're married to Him and you say, Lord, I am all in. I'm all in, lock, stock, and barrel. I am not turning back. My hand is onto the plow, and I'm trusting in You, God. Let's go. Let's go. Let's do it. Let's go. God, do what You want to do through me. I give it all to You, God. I'm not holding anything back. Let's go. God, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to rest in You. I'm ready to trust in You. No matter where I'm at, no matter what I'm doing, no matter what I'm going through, God, I know that You'll never leave me nor forsake me. You'll never divorce me. You'll never turn Your back on me. You're always with me, because You cannot disown Your word, Lord, and Your word is a shield on me, is an umbrella over my head. Your word is always there. Your word is faithful. Your word is true. You are trustworthy, O God, and I trust You, O Lord. Holy Spirit of God, I know who You are, and Lord, Your word tells me who You are. Come on, stand to your feet this morning. Begin to worship Him and thank Him this morning for who He is in our hearts and our lives. Lord, we find rest in You. We find completeness in You. We find a place of serenity in You, God, and a place of wholeness in You, O God. Oh, we thank You, Lord. Come on, church, begin to pray right now all across the room. God, we need a visitation of Your Holy Spirit in this place. It's been my prayer that at the conclusion of this message series, that God would fill us with His Holy Spirit. And if you are hungry for the Holy Spirit, if you're hungry for His presence, then I don't want you to hold back. I don't want you to be a spectator. I want you to lift your hands right now, because God's getting ready to do something very special in our midst right now. Hallelujah. 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 Tim, if you'll help me there a little bit. Yeah. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Lift your hands and say, God, I'm all in. I'm not going to hold it back. I'm not going to be reserved about this thing, because I need You, God. I need You, Holy Spirit. We need You, Lord, Holy Spirit. We're going to pray collectively, God, for this body, God, First Assembly of God. We need You, Jesus. Lord God, I know by just being here in the last 6 weeks, God, I am very aware that this body is hungry for You. Lord, I've seen signs of just individuals that are, Lord, I can see it in their hearts. I can see it in their eyes, Lord. They want a move of God. They want to reach the city, God. Every time I drive into Rock Hill, I'm saying, God, give us a city. Give us Rock Hill, God. Give us, Lord, souls. Give us homes, oh God. Give us families, oh Lord, that we can minister to and pour into, God. Give us places where we can establish new ministries, Lord God. Give us a place, God, where we can identify with this community, Lord God, and reach people, help people, God. Because You said in Your word to love God and to love people, Lord. And that's what we want to do as a collective body, Lord. That's our desire. And I am so encouraged to see that on everybody's heart here, Lord. And I know, God, I can feel it, I can sense it, Lord, that You smile on that. And You're smiling on this body, Lord. I thank You, Father, that in this place, in this season, this time, this is a very healthy church, Lord. God, we don't have any debt. You've helped us to pay our buildings off, Lord, our facilities. I'm marveled at where we're positioned right now, God. And I believe it, Lord, because it's for a season, God, of how You want to use us to touch this community, Lord, like never before. Oh, God, use us. Use, watching at home, pray with us as well. Use us, oh, God. Use me, Lord. So as we pray that, we believe that, the Holy Spirit reminds me of something. He says, you know what? I want to, and I will. Watch me. I'll do it. But it's going to take each individual to surrender to me. Yeah. To find a place of trust and rest in Him. To say, Lord, it's not about me, it's about Him, it's about You. And so that's where I want us to right now. I want us to surrender. In just a moment, I'm going to give us opportunity to say a prayer together individually that we surrender. And then I'm going to pray a prayer that God would fill us afresh and anew with the power of His Holy Spirit. You guys believe with me this morning, staying with me up in the balcony as well. I want us all to stretch up our hands toward heaven. And I want us to individually, collectively, begin to pray and ask God as we surrender. Just begin to confess, begin to say, Lord, I am nothing without you. I surrender. Lord, as an individual right now, I surrender my will to yours. I surrender my heart to you, God. We're praying for renewal in our church. We're praying for revival. But God, I realize it's got to begin with me. It's got to start right here. I got to realize, Lord, that I've got to partner with you as an act of worship. And I've got to know the whole counsel of God. So I begin right now, Lord, to pray for me, that you'd forgive me, Lord, that you'd fill me with your presence and your power. Those of you watching online, just begin to pray right now, Lord, be my Lord, be my Savior. I surrender everything to you, Lord. I surrender all that I have, all that I've been, all that I hope to be. Lord, I surrender to you right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.